loud, sexist America and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on RBN with the Dankoff Report on this Friday, September the 15th, 2023. Those of you listening live, of course, are doing so primarily through republicbroadcasting.org. We'll have the later listening link up on this. We have on our present roadmap for our listeners last week's show links up as well as last week's roadmap. Let's begin with something. I couldn't help myself with this. I responded to RFK Jr.'s proposal of September 11th as a day of quote-unquote national service and remembrance. I got a text message from one of Kennedy's people, nice young lady, trying to get me involved with this. And she says, "Hey there, Mark, this is Bridget with Team Kennedy. Have you signed up for a day of service project in your community? Mr. Kennedy has asked us to honor the September the 11th National Day of Service and Remembrance. There are service projects planned by Kennedy supporters in almost every state. These will take place on September 9th, 10th, and 11th. Find an event with your zip code using the link below." Hi, Bridget. This is my response. "Unfortunately, I'm involved with helping the Sons of the Confederacy clean up the east side of San Antonio on September the 11th. It's the black side of town here. 99% of the population is armed and on fentanyl. To tell you the truth, I'm scared shitless. Mark." Now, of course, that's all fictitious, folks. It was a laugh at the expense of the very nice Kennedy people. But I just couldn't help myself. And although I like RFK Jr., he needs to think more deeply about who was really behind September the 11th, as well as who was really behind the deaths of his uncle and his father. And he's not going to learn those things hanging around Rabbi Boteach. Enough said there. In terms of ancient history, Mark Dankoff on 9/11 in Israel. We put up the Daily Motion video of some years ago that VT Foreign Policy reran. You can avail yourselves of that link. Katahan reruns Mark Dankoff on 9/11 and Israel. You can get that one both in English and in Russian, underscoring my own credentials as a secret agent of Putin. By the way, Putin doesn't pay very well as one of his secret agents. I have yet to receive a dime from him or even an autographed book or anything. So for those of you who would make this sinister accusation that someone of my political point of view might be nothing more than a front guy for evil Putin, if that's true, evil Putin hasn't gotten to my bank account yet with any help. RFK Jr. and the DNC Rules Committee. Will Kennedy run third party? Got a video up there. Kennedy is telling Forbes what he really thinks of Joe Biden and the DNC. We put up the Democratic Party's link to their so-called Rules Committee session, where they lay down the so-called rules of the upcoming primaries. This is all very revealing in that we also put up Kennedy's letter, RFK Jr.'s letter, to the DNC, explaining what the real issues are involved in this situation. "Dear Mark," says RFK Jr., and this is serious, of course, "this Thursday, September 14th in Washington, D.C., the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, will meet to confirm the party's rules or make changes which could amount to stuffing the primary election delegate box. Here's how it works. Let's say a candidate gets 60% of the vote in a primary. In a fair election, they would get 60% of the delegates allocated. However, in 2020, the DNC created a new kind of delegate. Here we go again, folks. The old superdelegates, PLEO, the party leaders and elected officials, read superdelegates. Only these officials are eligible. They are to be allocated according to vote totals. But since no official will dare provoke the wrath of the DNC by pledging to an insurgent candidate like myself, it means that all of them will go to President Joe Biden. What that means," says Kennedy, "is that I could win 60 or 70% of the vote and still the nomination would go to Joe Biden. Contribute," he says, "to support a fair election process. This is not simply a question of superdelegates. It's a question of the DNC switching the first primary to South Carolina, where Biden did well in 2020, taking it away from New Hampshire, where Biden lost badly. To enforce the switch," says Kennedy, "they are punishing any candidate who campaigns there by nullifying the New Hampshire vote and removing them from the ballot in Georgia, of all places. Keep an eye on that story. It sounds to me, and some of Kennedy's people who are talking to me on the side about this whole issue, knowing that I'm a good Buchanan Republican, I said, hey, look at what Perot did in 1992 with 17% of the national vote. Go back and look at what Wallace LeMay accomplished in 1968. And had it not been for a single rhetorical gaffe by General LeMay in October of that year, that election would have been thrown into the House of Representatives. Nonetheless, Wallace LeMay runs states. Arguably, if RFK Jr. was running as a third-party insurgent candidate, can you imagine with the present state of lamentable affairs in both the Democratic and Republican parties, what a third party run by a guy named Kennedy might mean? Mean a lot of money to support him, mean a lot of activists out there, and I don't say this facetiously at all, I would be afraid for the man's personal safety and his life if he did that, because the same forces that opposed some of the things that characterized his uncle's presidency and what his father was proposing to do have a lot of enemies out there now. And Kennedy is saying a lot of good things about the Ukrainian war, the Russian-Ukrainian war, and about the need to get away from letting the military-industrial complex drag us as Americans around by the nose. Nonetheless, if he should run a third-party effort, it would be exciting, but it would also be very dangerous, and so pray for this man, and I don't say that lightly. The other thing is that Mr. Kennedy would be advised in terms of his attacks on the military-industrial complex, as well as his very fine statements on Russia-Ukraine, to get away from what seems to be a wholesale embrace of the Zionist lobby, which stands for the American military-industrial complex and for neocon intervention and warmongering. Mr. Kennedy needs to see the inconsistency in that. I am not hostile to him. I'm simply asking him to re-examine the logic of his own stated positions. The Russian-Ukrainian war. Ahmed Adel for South Front announces that Ukraine has already lost 500,000 soldiers in its war with Russia. I know Colonel McGregor would agree with that assessment and many other sources like Colonel McGregor. South Front also announced today that the Russian army hammers Kiev forces in Kharkov, Kupiansk, and Krasny-Liman. The significance of this is that since Kiev has sustained heavy losses in the directions of Kharkov, Kupiansk, and Krasny-Liman in the north, ever since launching their counteroffensive more than 3 months ago, Russian pressure in those directions has distracted Kiev forces from their main objectives in Zaporozhye and Donetsk, which, of course, included a counteroffensive that was supposed to take the Ukrainians all the way to the Sea of Azov through Mariupol. That was to be the so-called direction of the counteroffensive. Kiev has not been able to do that for a variety of reasons. So, among other things, they are now resorting to some of their previous tactics as it involves overt terrorism. Alexander Mercuris for the Duran yesterday had an excellent video on this Russian-Ukrainian war. He also has in that video, which we posted for all of our listeners at RBN, at the 1 hour, 1 minute, and 26 second point in that video, he begins a discussion of the end game for Joe Biden. Folks, if you listen to what Mercuris tells you and tells me at 101:26 of that video, this guy is definitely crackers. He definitely is increasingly a mental vegetable case. And apparently at the Vilnius meetings of NATO leaders, the decline of Joe Biden was noticed by more than a few. If Mercuris's description is at all accurate, it would make FDR at the Yalta conference look like Charles Atlas by compared to Joe Biden at this particular juncture. And remember, this guy Biden has his finger, or his pals who are running him, have their fingers on the nuclear button. Nonetheless, when you start adding up all of the things that Mercuris has done for us over time, you've got 71,500 Ukrainian casualties just since the 4th of June. That's on top of the 500,000 casualties they have suffered since a year ago in February. Approximately 7,600 military equipment and machine losses. since June 4th. And now, folks, on top of America's $113 billion to your favorite Jewish drag queen comedian who is impersonating a president in Kiev, and a total of $177 billion for him, counting the EU contributions, we now have Sleepy Joe coming forth to put together a package of another $24 billion for Ukraine. What does this amount to? Someone put it very well on the Contacta recently. Well, if you live in Maui, the feds have $10 million for you in Lahaina, Maui, and in Maui generally, if you are one of the victims of that terrible, terrible fire. Volodymyr Zelensky is at $113 billion and counting. That tells you the priorities of these global homo people running the American government. This is where RFK needs to speak with greater clarity about who is really behind this deep state movement and the extent to which the deep state involves people that he is trying to embrace in order to, quote unquote, avoid the charge of anti-Semitism. Don't play their game, RFK. And my recommendation would be to consider a third party run for president, depending on what these actual DNC rules committee laws are as a result of the 14th of September. And we'll just take it from there. But keep an eye on this. As far as the criminals the United States is supporting in this Russian-Ukrainian war, here is one for you. Ukrainian military speaker, who is an American transgender, by the way, is threatening Russian journalists. Scott Bennett, a former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer and State Department counterterrorism analyst, told Sputnik this, quote, "This transgender mouthpiece, who has been used by the Biden administration, is really just the last desperate gasp from a dying regime," unquote. This gets back into something that I have been talking about from time to time on this network. Have you ever heard of a website called Mirotvorets? This is Ukraine's infamous website, which maintains a kill list, an actual hit list, containing personal data of dissenting reporters, politicians, opposition figures, bloggers, and even children who are labeled enemies of Ukraine. Every time an individual on the list is killed, a liquidated inscription appears on his or her photograph on the website. We have a list of some of the people who have lost their lives via murder, the most obvious of those being Daria Dugina, the daughter of Russian philosopher Alexander Dugin, who was assassinated a year ago in this last August 20th in a most heinous fashion by car bomb, courtesy of the Ukrainian Secret Service, where there were outside backers of Ukraine who at the very least winked at that horrible crime. So there you have it. Take a look at this in terms of the United States using an American transgender by the name of Sarah Ashton Cirillo to threaten Russian journalists and to spout Zelensky's gay line on what is going on in this Russian-Ukrainian war. Charles Lindbergh. I've noticed in international social media recently that there's a lot of renewed interest in the late Charles Lindbergh. Born in 1902, died in 1974, Charles Lindbergh, the famous aviator, the Spirit of St. Louis, 1927, right? Later, Lindbergh became the voice of the America First Committee. And as I've pointed out many times to RBN listeners and to other people, Charles Lindbergh, Robert Taft, and Pat Buchanan are not the America First version that Donald Trump has been spouting with the latter's endorsement of the Zionist lobby. I'll keep repeating that line over time. I have posted the official Charles Lindbergh site on our roadmap for you so that you can get a feel for Lindbergh if you're not that familiar with him historically. We have posted two links to his famous speech in Des Moines, Iowa, on September the 11th, 1941. Folks, that was 60 years to the day before 9/11. This is what makes Charles Lindbergh so fascinating now, as he keeps talking about false flags, talking in 1941 about the people that were pushing to get the United States into a war that we did not belong in and that would be to our national detriment as a sovereign nation state. Take a look, not simply at the text of that speech, but that speech is up on YouTube in video form, and we posted it for you. Robert Stinnett, the author of Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor, he has a one-hour, 21-minute lecture that's up there, which confirms that Charles Lindbergh was absolutely right in knowing what was coming. The problem is that Stinnett is an apologist for FDR and claiming that, well, this is all understandable since he was trying to get us into a war where we did belong. I'll go with Lindbergh on that and not Stinnett. More on that later. Watch Azerbaijan versus Armenia. Watch this conflict going on in Syria, folks. This is Israel. This is the American, largely Jewish neocons at work as a means of providing further trouble for Iran, further trouble for Russia, and more profits ultimately for the American military-industrial complex if certain things should happen. We posted a link from South Front on the dangerous escalation in Syria's greater Idlib province and what that means for you and for me in terms of a possible direct conflict between Russia and the United States in an area where the United States has no legal standing to even be. Vanessa Bailey talks about Syrian civilian airports and how Israel is trying to justify its aggressions on these airports and is also trying to involve Armenia in this mess in order to justify sanctions or even airstrikes on its airports as well. And as we read this quote from this article from something called ALMA, the so-called ALMA Research Center, it's a Zionist front, folks. It's so upfront, it's ridiculous. Bailey quotes them as saying as following, is Armenia used as a transit point covering and hiding armament deliveries from Iran to Syria and then to Lebanon? Is the airport in Armenia's capital, Yerevan, used as a transit point for the passage of weapons, equipment, and operatives to Syria's Aleppo and Damascus airports, and then by land to Lebanon? All this in order to make it more difficult for the intelligence surveillance of these transfers? Unquote. We posted Israel-Alma.org's link to their propaganda on both Armenia and Syria. But here's the story about the founder of this organization, and we'll get back to that when Mark Gancos America returns with you live from San Antonio, Texas, on this Friday, September the 15th. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer, It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
HempPaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit HempPaste.com/RBN.
That old couple quit riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo, the ghost rider's in the sky.
Now, of course, that is Eddie Arnold and not Mark Jankoff singing. The great Eddie Arnold, the late Eddie Arnold, Ghost Riders in the Sky. Many of you remember the old Sons of the Pioneers version of that song, which is equally great. I always liked Eddie Arnold in particular. Patrick Slattery used to incorporate Eddie Arnold music into some of our joint radio efforts for RBN in the past. Eddie Arnold, country music's all-time hit maker, according to both the Los Angeles and the New York Times, at his passing in 2008, both in terms of number one hits, number of top 40 singles over seven decades, and he was the youngest entry into country music's Hall of Fame at age 48, and was the only person in history who was in the Hall of Fame before he became country music's very first CMA Award winner in 1967, which basically awarded him for all of his work between 1944 and 1967, more than any other artist in bringing country western music into the forefront of the mainstream of the middle class in the United States. Many people who did not listen to country music nonetheless would listen to Eddie Arnold and would show up for his shows in places like Vegas and Carnegie Hall because of the great voice that he had, and he was a very, very fine gentleman as well. Enough said there. Let's go back just for a moment to this Israel.alma.org or Israel-alma.org organization that has been sticking its nose into this business in Syria and also this business between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Here's what you need to know, folks. Always check these opinion makers out in terms of who they really are before you just read whatever it is that they say and say, oh, that sounds pretty good. Here's one for you about this Israel Alma organization. Lieutenant Colonel in the Reserves, Sarit Zahavi, is the founder and president of Alma. Very nice-looking woman, by the way. A nonprofit and independent research and education center specialized in Israel's security challenges on its northern border. She has briefed hundreds of groups and forums, ranging from U.S. senators, congressmen and women, some transgender people in Congress, if they're out there, I don't know, and politicians to senior journalists and visiting VIP groups in Israel and overseas. Sarit scripts numerous position papers and updates focusing on Lebanon, Syria, and Israel's national security challenges. She served for 15 years in the Israeli Defense Forces, specializing in military intelligence. Sarit holds an MA in Middle East Studies from Ben-Gurion University. Her unique achievements led her to be selected by the Jerusalem Post as one of the top 50 most influential global Jewish personalities of 2021. I wonder if Jeffrey Epstein and Ms. Maxwell made that list. Have to check it out. At any rate, keep an eye on that think tank and evaluate anything that they say in terms of their real background. Here's one that is perhaps more to the point. Andrew Korobiko, whom I first became acquainted with on VK, has in his Substack page something entitled, "The U.S. would be delighted if Iran was dragged into any new conflict over Karabakh," which is this region under dispute between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Read that story. Libya. This is a horrible situation. We could go back to 2011 with the extrajudicial murder of Muammar Gaddafi, commissioned by Hillary Clinton, which she publicly proclaimed with a great sense of humor on her part. We could deal with a devastating and illegal intervention of Libya into Libya by NATO. We could subsequently deal with all of the sinister introductions into Assad's Syria of weaponry and Wahhabic extremists as a result of this Libyan operation that then launched in earnest the American Ziocon attempt to engage in regime change in Syria. Now we're just talking about a horrible, horrible tragedy of nature. Radovka reports that in Libya, the number of flood victims rises to 11.3 thousand. Debris of destroyed houses and dead bodies everywhere. In Libya, the number of flood victims has risen to 11.3 thousand, as that's reported by AP, by the way. Radovka is reiterating that. According to some reports, says AP, this figure may rise to 20,000. As many people are missing, about 2,000 bodies were carried into the open sea. $10 million for Maui in federal funds. $113 billion plus $23 billion for Zelensky in American money. Is there any help for these poor people in Libya? Maybe there'd be some more money for them if the United States would cease its illegal activities in Syria and simply get out of there, in addition to cutting off this guy Zelensky in perpetuity. We'll be back to discuss a couple of ugly stories when Mark Gankoff returns on RBN Live from San Antonio, Texas. Take care. Be right back.
Yippee-i-o. Riders in the sky.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me, and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I'd just as soon right now pull on over to this side of the road and show you what I mean.
You are listening to the Dan Karff Report on RBN Live. That once again was the great Eddie Arnold, the late great Eddie Arnold. July, You're a Woman, from his 1970 album Standing Alone, produced by Lee Hazlewood, interestingly enough. That album, by the way, along with some of Eddie Arnold's other works of long ago, is available through the Bear Family People in Germany. I've gotten some incredible deals on some Eddie Arnold stuff originally produced by RCA that these Bear Family People in Germany are legitimately and legally publishing and distributing. So if you get a chance, it's not only Eddie Arnold who is there, of course, a lot of other American artists of all kinds of genres operate out of that interesting outlet in Germany. Look them up. I think you'll be pleased with them. They didn't ask me to say that. I simply went ahead and said it. By the way, RBN needs your help. We're a little short of money this month. And when I say we, I don't mean me. I'm always short of money. RBN, however, needs your help. Any gifts and contributions are greatly appreciated. How do you do that? You click the donate button or buttons at republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. By the way, I make absolutely nothing in pay from RBN for being on this network. I did some years ago, many years ago now, for a time. I'm on here because I still believe in the mission. I still believe in this network, even at this very late hour in history for the United States, and amidst all of the power that our enemies have in the New World Order to try and shut us down, I'm still here. Patrick Slattery is still at home plate. You've got Jeremy. You've got Patricia Aiken. All of these other folks on RBN that are there for one reason. We're still slugging it out because we believe in the mission. And RBN is the finest alt-right outlet in the United States in terms of airwaves. We need your help. So all you got to do is go to republicbroadcasting.org. click the donate button, and then go through all of the pages of archives and say that Mark Dankoff is the greatest broadcaster in world history. No, don't do that. Just send the money, not to me, but to my good friends at RBN. By the way, where else could you get the kind of news that I present here? Now, the Washington Post does tell us about the Hunter Biden federal gun indictment. That, of course, had to be once the public found out how the deck was going to be stacked in allowing Hunter to get away with all of his felonious activities. Didn't quite work that way once more and more people got wind of this so-called plea bargain that had been proposed by the American Biden-controlled Justice Department of Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland's schemes, however, didn't quite work. So Hunter Biden has been indicted for federal gun crimes. That's just the tip of the iceberg, folks. The real issue is the Biden financial empire as it pertains to Ukraine after the illegal coup of 2014 and all the activities of Joe and Hunter Biden with Burisma and the approximately $10 million that apparently came Joe's way and Hunter's way and all of this influence buying. But the Bidens are setting you and me up for a third world war. After all, they have to cover their initial activities in that country, right? Which may have something to do with the fact that with all of this Biden money that has been laundered through Ukraine into the Biden coffers, maybe this explains why so much American taxpayers' money has been coming Zelensky's way. $113 billion, now talking about another $23 billion from the United States. And you add that to the European Union's contributions to this. And again, Maui got $10 million. Zelensky is getting ready to run away with over $200 billion in American, primarily, and EU money. What then is left for rebuilding the American infrastructure and for helping the American economy? And doing something about crime in our streets and something about the lamentable state of our schools. Who cares when you can be an advocate of global homo? So let's get Hunter into prison, we pray. And we hope that at some point that jail cell clink sounds behind his old man, too. That is, of course, my editorial remark on both of these crooks. Kamala Harris's husband and Israeli faggotry. That's my title for a particular photo that we posted that comes via the Postmillennial, postmillennial.com. And in this particular case, I misspoke on that, by the way. That comes from another outlet, so I need to change something slightly. The Postmillennial people would probably go nuts if they thought they were being credited with this particular photo, which is up there on your roadmap. Kamala Harris's husband is referred to as the second gentleman. This flag was presented to him for his advocacy against anti-Semitism and LGBTQ phobia. So we have the LGBTQ flag, and transposed on that is the famous six-starred flag. This flag, in particular, we are told by this source, was originally carried at a gay pride march in Jerusalem. I will make sure that we get the correct source on that, because once I posted that with the photograph, I went on in my show preparation to this post-millennial thing. They are not the people who put that photo up. Although if they're listening to this, they're probably wishing that they had. Nonetheless, the post-millennial reports, in terms of American culture, that a woman is suing the University of Nebraska Medical Center for cutting off her healthy breasts at age 16 in an attempt to turn her into a male. The pathology report confirmed that doctors Johnson and Barrientos permanently removed the healthy breasts of this 16-year-old girl, unquote. I'll leave you to contemplate the heinous character of that. Here's some more American culture for you. LifeSite News, Pope Francis is to address the pro-abortion Clinton Foundation conference on quote-unquote climate change. A lot of other things that the Pope is probably talking to Clinton about in this latest rather sickening encounter, but take a look at that story. By the way, there is a Clinton Twitter shot with the Pope. that LifeSite News used from July of 2023. It shows Clinton shaking hands with the Pope. There is a table between them, and I had a wisecrack about where Monica might be hiding as that photo was taken. That's about what I think of Bill Clinton. I don't think too much more, if at all, of the Pope either. Sequel to that one from LifeSite News, Pope Francis receives Bill Clinton and George Soros' son in a private Vatican visit. What are they talking about in those visits with the Pope? I'll leave it to your imagination as to what they're talking about. And then going all the way back to 2019, yes, let's refresh our memories. LifeSite News had the story up, close Clinton friend arrested for allegedly running a global pedophilia and sex trafficking ring. That gets into our old friend Jeffrey Epstein, of course, and Ghislaine Maxwell, whose father, of course, was an Israeli spy while he was working for the Daily Mirror in Britain. That is absolutely factual. Gordon Thomas has a terrific book out on that subject in conjunction with a partner from the BBC, whose name I will try to recall quickly. And in this particular case, I can't quite come up, Martin Dillon was the name of the co-author of that book. I wanted to make sure that we got that credit in there. If Martin happens to be listening, he was very much involved in the production of that book on Robert Maxwell and everything that happened to Maxwell, that sheds great light on the ongoing use of things like the Epstein-Maxwell sex trafficking ring to promote matters Israel, to promote matters Israeli intelligence as it comes to sex trafficking for purposes of political blackmail. End of story. Now here's one of culture for you. This one goes to a gynecologist in France. If you haven't had enough of this stuff, this is my last story on this stuff that just makes you sick. De-dollarization on Telegram posted this. They've got a lot of terrific stories out there on that news site. I look at a lot of these Telegram sites a lot more than I used to. But here's what de-dollarization is saying. In modern medicine news, a gynecologist in France told a transvestite that he did not know how to examine men and is now being harassed on social media and facing legal action for denying medical assistance. Quote, in late August, an internet user posted negative comments about the gynecologist working at this medical center, criticizing him for refusing to provide medical services to a transvestite. The doctor responded, quote, I'm a gynecologist and I treat real women. I do not have the skills to perform gynecological examinations on men, even if they shave their beard and claim to be a woman. These comments, as de-dollarization shocked social media and an association called Stop Homophobia. This is not just foolishness. This is not just a lack of tact. There are many ways to redirect people to someone much more qualified to address these issues. In our view, says Stop Homophobia, this is discriminatory and transphobic. The gynecologist already regrets his response. Quote, I had too strong of a reaction and perhaps you will understand me, but this does not justify me in any way. I'm very sorry and I truly apologize, unquote. The organization Stop Homophobia, says de-dollarization, is preparing for legal action against this specialist. That's the condition of the Western world, folks, globo homo. Whether you're looking at France or Germany, you're looking at all of these EU countries or the United States, we are in a cultural and legal and moral and spiritual sewer. What do we do about it? Well, we start off by supporting Putin in this war that has been launched by NATO, with one of NATO's chief objectives clearly being the global enforcement and the global introduction by gunpoint of LGBTQ worldwide. By the way, the South Front people, I guess they're based in Crimea, terrific news site, primarily on things related to the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, but they cover a lot of other fine stuff as well. They have published a couple of my pieces that were originally published for VT Foreign Policy, and one of those two essays has also been posted by our own Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org For that, we also salute our own network for affirming absolute freedom of speech in the First Amendment. This is an interesting story because the one that I wrote for VT Foreign Policy, entitled Euromaidan Press Hides the George Soros OSF Connection, apparently forces at Google started squawking about that one. I don't know if it involved a particular humorous picture that we used of Victoria Nuland. I don't know if it involved the introduction to the article, which was absolutely bolded, or what it was, but VT Foreign Policy, I think, changed a picture, then reposted it. No trouble since. But now Republic Broadcasting Network has picked up the South Front repost of this, and basically Google didn't like, Nuland didn't like, Soros didn't like, Euromaidan didn't like, the LGBTQ movement didn't like it, neither did the neocon, ziocon, warmongering forces that are conducting American foreign policy in this Russian-Ukrainian war and around the world. But here's what I said, quote, Euromaidan's press attempt to hide their status as a George Soros Open Society Foundation front is an attempt to hide the fact that support for Zelensky in Ukraine is de facto support for Globo Homo, coup d'etats for regime change, the Dugina assassination, the Nord Stream pipeline bombing, international faggotry, the synagogue of Satan's persecution of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, the UOC, and the global suppression of free speech and legitimate alternative media, unquote. So, folks, take our hats off collectively to these fine people at South Front who support an American's right to exercise his or her First Amendment rights to say something about South Front and to say something about Vladimir Putin and Russia and this joker Zelensky that does not follow Global Homo's line in the American mainstream media. This is why it's so important. I'll plug it again. Support Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Hit on the donate button. That's all you have to do. This goes directly to our fine people at republicbroadcasting.org. Not a penny of that comes to me. I am saying that on their behalf. We've had a long-term relationship of many, many years now. We have a mutual commitment to fighting this battle as long as we possibly can. South Front found one of my other posts for VT Foreign Policy quite interesting. That one's entitled, Selling, Killing, and Dying for the Beast and the Empire to Kids. Don't support your local military recruiters, folks, if you live in the United States, as it relates to this world war that the global elite that runs the American government is proposing that your kids die for. And maybe some of us can be killed in our own homes in this country when we start getting hit in ways that has not characterized the situation with the United States before. Keep an eye on all of that. But once again, hats off to South Front for reposting the VT Foreign Policy offering Mark Dankoff, Selling, Killing, and Dying for the Beast and the Empire to Kids. Don't buy it this time. That's not simply Mark Dankoff's message. That was Charles Lindbergh's message on September the 11th, 1941, in Des Moines, Iowa, before Franklin Delano Roosevelt's criminal enterprises that had been going on at least since October of 1940 with the McCollum Memorandum to pull off the very thing he said he would not allow, which is for Americans' kids to die in a war in Europe. Roosevelt got us in the back door of that war through absolutely arranging the attack on Pearl Harbor. Don't believe that? Read John Koster's Operation Snow. Read that post by Robert Stinnett, Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor. Read John Tolan's book, Infamy, and you'll begin to see, in conjunction with George Morgenstern's book on Pearl Harbor that I have just ordered from Mark Weber's IHR, that this thing was not a surprise attack. Roosevelt and his chief cronies engineered it for purposes related to whom? Charles Lindbergh told you on September the 11th, 1941, if you lived in Des Moines, Iowa, who was behind this, the British, especially the Jewish banking interests in Britain, including the Rothschild Empire, the Jews, he says, connected and working with FDR's cabal at the top, and last but not least, FDR himself. These were the winners out of this whole thing, as well as, ultimately, Stalin and the Soviet Union. That's the truth about Pearl Harbor, and it begs the question, what false flag or flags is Global Homo planning and the Ziocons planning through the Biden administration to try and sucker the American people into a global conflict that will kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, and destroy the United States in the same way that the British Empire was destroyed after World War II was over, only worse. The fact of the matter is that this gives us a unique opportunity to replace the American Empire with the old American Republic. That's what Lindbergh and Taft and Pat Buchanan are all about. Start reading what these various people in history have been saying to you for a very long period of time, and don't buy into the selling of killing and dying for the beast and the empire to American kids or anybody else's kids. This is not our war. This is not our fight. This cause is evil. The people promoting it are evil, and we should not at all be involved in a world war with Russia and with the Iranians and with China, among others, where we can maintain a good political and economic relationship with these folks based upon diplomacy and put these Ziocons out of business once and for all. In regard to books, our book of the week, predictably, is James P. Duffy's volume, Lindbergh versus Roosevelt, The Rivalry That Divided America. I've read the book. I have it in my library. I believe Regnery is the publisher there. You must read that book to see all of the incredible lies and distortions and downright defamation that Charles Lindbergh endured throughout most of his adult life as a result of his attempts to stop FDR and what he knew that FDR was in the process of putting over on the American public. Some people think the kidnapping and murder of his son may have had something to do with all of this. I can't prove that, but it really makes you wonder. Films, no big film here today, although we will say to keep watching for Mel Gibson's production, Resurrection, based upon the earlier Passion of the Christ. Mel says that that's coming out very soon, as he tells some of us on VK. Here's the last thing that I will take a look at in the remaining minutes. We might have time for one caller, but I wanted to get this in. History, we can talk about all kinds of things in history, but one thing that is very, very clear is that there is linkage between the America of 2023 and the changes in America that were deliberately introduced in the early 1960s. This is an area where, according to the Cultured American, and they've got the evidence on this, President Kennedy was overhauling the Johnson-Reed Act. What was the Johnson-Reed Act? Cultured American tells us that during the 1960 campaign, Kennedy proposed an overhaul of American immigration and naturalization laws to ban discrimination based on national origin. Kennedy saw this proposal, JFK did, as an extension of his planned civil rights agenda as president. These reforms later became law through the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, which dramatically shifted the source of immigration from Northern and Western European countries toward massive immigration from Latin America and Asia. The policy change also shifted the emphasis on the selection of immigrants in favor of family reunification. Sound familiar? The late president's brother, Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, helped steer the legislation through the Senate. What's interesting about this, that was a seismic shift in the entire direction of the United States of America forever after, not widely understood by the time, even by people like Eugene McCarthy, who voted for it then in 1965 and later regretted having done so. And in this regard, of course, ironically enough, all these years later, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is saying a lot of good things about sealing our border, making sure that we have a defendable border, and stopping all of this massive illegal immigration into the United States, not on the part of thousands, but ultimately millions of people. It's interesting when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. quite correctly talks about this, given the Kennedy's early history with helping to produce this Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, there's another great irony here as well. And that as we look at all of this unfolding, this is not simply about the crumbling of what was the United States demographically, but also culturally. The United States was a revolutionary situation in the 1960s, not too many shots fired, sadly at Kent State. We won't get into that one this afternoon, but most of this went on without a shot being fired. Unrestrained non-European immigration into the United States, the advent of the legalization of every kind of pornography, and ultimately the LGBTQ movement of the later era, ongoing foreign wars, discretionary foreign wars involving billions in fiat money, involving untold numbers of deaths worldwide, and absolutely going on at a time when the Israeli operations in this country went unchecked. The Levant affair, the Kennedy assassination, the Pollard spy case, 9/11, the Promise affair, the Maxwell Epstein sex trafficking ring, and all the rest of it. We are now at the end of the hour. You have been listening to the Dan Koff Report live on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this September the 15th, 2023. Avail yourself of all of the videos and all of the news stories that are posted in our roadmap, which will accompany the archival post, thanks to our very fine technicians. And remember, support RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.